now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Welcome to the Paul McGuire Report, wherever you are on planet Earth and wherever you are in the United States of America. I was thinking about adding wherever you are in terms of being off planet Earth, but then, you know, you go down that trail of all the possibilities and speculations of ET life, etc. And I don't want to get into that today. We will do shows on that, probably from a different perspective than you've heard, but we will do shows on it. Most specifically, how it blends into scientific mind control, which it does. Okay, so where we are now, and you can help this ministry, very importantly, because as we discussed on the last couple of shows, right now, at this moment, at this second, we are in the greatest battle for the minds and hearts of mankind in the history of human civilization. There has never been a time like this. In fact, the intensity of this moment is so powerful that, to borrow an overused media expression, we are in a time of epic biblical proportions. We are in a time of apocalyptic proportions. Those are all kind of little cute phrases the media uses to talk about stuff that is so far out there that they don't believe in the book of Revelation, but they love to point to it when they're talking about catastrophes or climate change or mass death or whatever. They always call it apocalyptic level events or catastrophic events, or to use a scientific term, human extinction level events. So where we are now in history at this exact nanosecond, we are in the epicenter of a war for the mind and soul and heart of people, unlike any other war for the mind and heart of people. There has never been a time where the escalation of the intellectual battle, the emotional battle, the psychological battle, the biological battle, the technological battle, and so on and so forth. There's never been a time where the human race has entered into a place of unspeakable intensity, and that's where we are. And so every day, as I do my research, as I do the other things that I have to do, many of you know I'm a professor of Bible prophecy. I've been teaching eschatology, which means that's the fancy theological word for Bible prophecy. I've been teaching at the level of a professor eschatology or Bible prophecy for, you know, 30 years, 35 years, at some of the most prestigious and major Christian universities and seminaries in the world. And I always try to be, I'm not like, you know, embrace any pipe dream that comes down the road type of guy. I try to be circumspect. I try to rightly divide the Word of God. And so the scenarios that are playing out before us continually and consistently, they just jump off the graph charts. They're just out there. They're so far beyond the traditional graph charts regarding future outcomes and expectations in Bible prophecy, that every one of us who claims to be a Christian, or any one of us who claims to be at least open to the claims of the Bible and to the claims of Jesus Christ, we have to honestly admit that we are in a time period that very closely mirrors the times spoken about in the Bible, the times that are called the last days. It's never been like this. And there's many reasons for it. So, for example, we have the potential. I don't know how great the potential is, because obviously the hype surrounding it has been weaponized for political gain. And so this speculative talk of a, you know, potential nuclear war between Russia, the U.S., China, and other nations is at least verbally on the table. So there is the possibility, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there is the possibility of a nuclear confrontation with Russia and the Ukraine. Russia has placed 100,000 troops, and God knows how many nukes on the borders near Russia and the Ukraine. In addition to that, we have the existence and close proximity of nuclear-powered submarines from Russia, and Russian submarines that are packed with massive arsenals of nuclear missiles. And they're hovering inches above the surface of our USA oceans, like down in the Gulf of Mexico. These Russian submarines are hovering on the ground deep under the ocean of the West Coast. And yes, the Russian submarines are hovering at the bottom of our territorial waters on the both the West Coast and East Coast. And so there is always the possibility of a flare-up. And you don't know how much of this is gamesmanship and how much of it is a clear and present danger. I would say whenever you're dealing with Russia or China or a nation of that level of nuclear power, it is something to pay attention to very closely, because there is the possibility that Russia would engage America, especially wanting to exploit this this weakness in the American leadership, the weakness in the American people, the American government. We have telegraphed weakness, indecisiveness to the world. And hawk nations like Communist China and Communist Russia and others, that would probably include Iran, they're on the lookout to seize an opportunity. And we've given them a whole bunch of opportunities by signaling to them that we're confused. We don't even know ourselves what we're going to do. That's the perfect geopolitical environment that Russia is looking for and could potentially exploit. And the way they would exploit it is through some kind of nuclear blackmail, where they fire Russian nuclear missiles at us. Okay, I'm not trying to create paranoia, because on the other hand, and this has to be counterbalanced with what I just said, Russia is a chess-playing nation. They're very shrewd. Everything they do is for a calculated purpose. And so they're going to play the game very shrewdly. It doesn't mean that when the day is done, they really want a nuclear war. It would cost them a fortune. But believe me, it's not something you can just turn your back on. So that's the environment we're in. On top of that, we have the COVID virus. We have the the COVID vaccination problem in that our economy has been exposed to a wrecking ball with bad decisions and bad policies that revolve around our pretty pathetic attempts at solving the COVID crisis. And then the big mega monster, the big boogeyman, if you like, above all of this, is that it is obvious to anybody except that 50% of Americans who are living in what many psychologists and psychiatrists call a trance state. So it is obvious to all but 50% of the Americans who are not in a trance state, it's obvious to your awake Americans that the strategies to stop COVID have only accelerated the spread of COVID. They have accelerated the countermeasures, that the countermeasures that we are using to stop COVID have created the opposite effect in almost every case. The opposite effect being the social distancing, the social isolation, the mass vaccination problem, the mass vaccination so-called solution, and all these other countermeasures that were designed to stop COVID have actually accelerated the spread of COVID. And I was looking at data today before I walked into the studio here at the Paul McGuire Report, and I wasn't surprised by what this data said. In fact, it affirmed my speculations, and I'll tell you why. The COVID response or the countermeasures have failed horribly. In just about every single case when a countermeasure to COVID was used or employed, it increased the spread of COVID. It increased the death count from COVID. It increased the free fall and crashing of our economy. It has caused more and more mass unemployment, more and more people who have middle class and working class jobs. And remember, the middle class and the working class people, along with all the people that are considered by the government as the small business owners, it is, and it has always been, the sheer numbers of the small business owners and the middle class and working class, economically, they have always been the prime drivers of our economy. And our policies, our economic policies, our COVID countermeasures, et cetera, have all created more harm than good. And that's stinking pathetic, by the way. So these gene-based vaccines, and they're not even vaccines, by the way. By gene-based vaccines, they're talking about vaccines that are not really vaccines, but they won't admit that. Vaccines that are not really vaccines. They're something else, and they're lying to us daily, and they're lying about what the actual contents are in these vaccines. These vaccines, which are not even vaccines, are killing people. And governments worldwide including the U.S., are lying to we the people, and they are lying to the populations that they say they are serving. So we're being lied to like by psychopaths. And they're lying to us because the dirty, cold, nasty truth is that these vaccinations are actually killing more people than they are saving people. And so, overwhelmingly, the rate of harm is skyrocketing. And the signal of harm is now indisputably overwhelming and in line with universally accepted ethical standards for clinical trials. In other words, what that means is that the harm rate has grown so fast, so exponentially, that the actual harm rate among doctors and medicine, the harm rate is so great that if our governments were behaving according to their own laws, they would immediately become engaged in the universally accepted ethical standards for this kind of response in clinical trials. Doctors for COVID Ethics demands that the COVID vaccine program, they are demanding that the COVID vaccine problem be halted. In other words, these expert medical professionals are so outraged by the death toll and the no ethics approach to the COVID vaccine that their conclusion is that the vaccine program is so horrible and such a failure that it needs to be immediately halted. But they're not halting it. You know why? Yeah, you do know why. They're not halting it because what is driving a spread of these COVID vaccines and the usage of these COVID vaccines, what is driving all this is not science, not medicine, not the doctors. What's driving it all is economics. Economics and politics is driving the continuation of a failed COVID vaccine solution. And why would they be so opposed to being agreeable to clinical trials for the COVID vaccine? They're militantly opposed to it because they're making a stinking fortune. They're making most likely trillions and trillions of dollars on the manufacturing of these vaccines, the spread of these vaccines, and the usage of these vaccines. They're making, the big pharmaceutical companies are making trillions and trillions of dollars. And they don't have any legal ramifications. These giant pharmaceutical companies and the big medical companies, etc., are legally immune from being held accountable for any of the deaths, for any of the heart attacks, for any of the other horror things that are happening to people that are getting in the vaccines. The pharmaceutical companies, these mega corporations owned by the globalist elite, are completely legally immune from being held accountable, financially penalized, or whatever. So what do they care? Keep killing people, hide the data, and just keep killing people. They're in a no-lose situation. So what is driving this at the very top? Well, you know what's driving this at the very top. You look at the back of the U.S. dollar bill, you see a pyramid. A pyramid on the back of the U.S. dollar bill. The pyramid is an ancient occult symbol. The pyramid is also a satanic symbol. And the satanic symbol, or the pyramid, on the back of the U.S. dollar is an ancient occult symbol that began in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, and it represents the organizational flowchart of the Luciferian elite, also known as Mystery Babylon. And again, I wouldn't normally introduce that topic because it's too esoteric. It is embedded with the potential of opening yourself up to criticisms of being a conspiracy theorist, or criticisms of being, you know, some crazed right wing. There's a devil under every bush type of a person. Well, that's not what this is about, but it is an economic reality, it is a political reality, and it is an organizational reality that there exists the tiny percentage, 1% of the population, that tiny percentage of 1% of the human population controls all of the wealth of 99% of the population. So our politicians have allowed us to create an economy where only 1% of the people control and own all the wealth, and that 1% of the people own and control all of the wealth of the rest of all the rest of the 99% of the people. So we, the people, the middle class, the working class, everything we do economically is totally controlled by just 1% of the population, known as the globalist elite. They represent 1% of the population, but they control 99% of the world's money and assets. And so the way you play that out for people so they can believe it, because if they don't believe it, they're going to dismiss it as a conspiracy theory. If they believe it and analyze it, like I've done for you in my brand new book that's coming out very soon, you can get it at a financial discount right now. That new book is called Power from On High. And it deals not only with spiritual power, but it deals with economic power based on facts and economics. And the facts are just 1% of the world's population controls the 99% of the wealth. Now, the way these 12 richest and most powerful international banking families and international wealthy individuals, the way they control 99% of the wealth is they do it through two front corporations. One is called BlackRock, the other is called Vanguard. So Vanguard and BlackRock control all the wealth, the power, the politics, the media, the medical industries in the world. They control the whole thing. And also, just these two corporations control every other corporation on planet Earth. All the stocks, all the major stockholders, the entire economic pyramid and political pyramid is totally dominated and controlled by just 12 super rich international banking families. And they do it again through two front corporations, Vanguard and BlackRock. And then in turn, BlackRock and Vanguard own monetarily and through law and through inheritance, BlackRock and Vanguard own all the other corporations on planet Earth. They own 100% of the media corporations, the food corporations, every other corporation that there is, the pharmaceutical, the medical, the military industrial corporations. They own everything. They control everything. And as par for their course, they own and control in every situation both sides. So, for example, in politics, they own and control both the Republicans and the Democrats. When it comes to the big pharmaceutical companies, they own and control all the competing pharmaceutical and medical corporations. They own and control, for example, both Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola. And so either way, no matter who wins, whether it's Coke making all the sales or it's Pepsi making all the sales, the way they have it structured, they win no matter or whether or not Pepsi wins or Coke wins, because they control the entire game. And that comes to every area of American and global society. They control the nations, like Rothschild said. They control the nations because they control the money. And the, as Rothschild also said, the people that control the money also control all the politicians. And then they control all the mainstream media. So if they wanted to, which they don't usually, they'll control both mainstream media sources that would champion two different positions. So like Fox News Network competes with CNN or whoever, you know, their competitor is. Fox News Network is in an all-out battle with CNN and other news networks. But no matter who wins the battle, Fox News wins and CNN wins, and the same people control and own both sides of the mainstream media or both sides of the social media platforms. And on it goes. It's a very rigged game. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Anywhere you happen to be listening to on planet Earth or anywhere in the United States of America. And our fundamental goal, our primary goal, is to communicate to you the truth. The truth regarding truth of facts, truth of data-based research, truth regarding intellectual, economic content, statistics, etc. Wherever there is something that's being debated or discussed, and the important thing is that we, the people, know what the actual truth is, because we have at our disposal the accurate statistical numbers, the accurate dollar amounts, the accurate amounts of death from COVID. We have accurate and reputable data, statistics, and content. And furthermore, we cover the stories that need to be covered. We focus in on the specific areas that the mainstream media, because it's the slave to their master globalist elite corporations. And the globalist elite, when it comes to all the mainstream media, it is the globalist elite that control totally the data, the information, what they claim are the facts. So you and I, make no mistake about this. This is no small thing. You and I were conquered in America and in most of the world a long time ago. Now, there's always somebody who would add to that. Well, that's a conspiracy theory. I don't believe that. And I try to be polite, as long as they're polite. If they cease being polite and they begin to attempt to dominate the discussion by either trying to raise their voice louder than me or to divert attention away from what I'm saying, or by irrationally trying to maliciously distort my image or reputation. Those are all, in my perception, attacks on the truth. And they are intentional and deliberate subversive attempts to marginalize me as an authentic spokesperson for the truth. And since I do speak the truth and I don't lie, and if I mess something up, I try to go public and admit it. But since my priority is the truth, and I substantiate that with facts and documents and credible sources, so when I am opposed unjustly, I don't mind being opposed justly. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I am opposed unjustly and people use subversive and manipulative techniques to try to bring me down, usually the attack methodology is to try, the way they try to deal with people like me and others is they try to distort the public's image of who you are through systematically lying about you, including just making stuff up about you. And they do that because their goal is to put in the minds of the people a highly distorted image or impression of you, so that then they can say, oh, what he says is not to be taken seriously. What he says is not reliable. What he says is just a bunch of lies, and on and on and on. And this is done in an attempt. It's the poor man's guide to psychological warfare, because they haven't done any studying or searching or seeking out of knowledge themselves. They don't debate with any integrity at all. So they use the cheap shot. And that can be anything from calling you names, making up lies, being hysterically emotional, or any number of cheap shots. Now, I have a rule. If the person is polite and if they actually have something to say, I give them the space to say it. But if a person is simply taking advantage of a situation that he or she manipulated themselves into to begin with, I've had people tell egregious lies about me that anybody who spent 5 minutes checking up on the reliability of their lies, anybody who spent 5 minutes checking up on me would have known instantly that what they were trying to say about me had to be a total lie, a total mythology, and a total distortion. Because I've had people say things to me, and the videos on my main website, paulmaguire.us, my videos blatantly contradict their lies. Because there, in front of anybody who cares to look at it, because it's all free, if they simply hit the play button, they can watch videos, they can hear audios, they can look pictures, which will directly contradict the attacks and the lies that are being told about. Because you can see me, for example, speaking in a particular location or nation or whatever, or at a particular church service or whatever. So it's not even something that's worthy of minimal debate, because it's based on a complete lie. Okay, those are the people you have to shut down. Not out of fear. I'm not afraid of debating them. but I'm not going to allow them to dominate the platform. Because there are people who are interested in the truth. Okay, so let's get back further into the truth. Now, this is the same methodology that the mainstream media will use when they're trying to smear or attack people. Here's a fact from Global Research. And it's a fact that's very important for you to know, because you will probably be making a decision that could affect your life, or could affect whether or not you actually live, or could affect the rest of your life and how long, simply based on whether or not you have access to the facts, or whether or not you have access to the truth. So, in the headline of the Global Research story, it says, high recorded mortality in countries categorized as COVID-19 vaccine champions. The vaccinated suffer from increased risk of mortality or death. Data on mortality in the most vaccinated countries increased hospitalizations of the vaccinated. So all the propaganda you're being told by the lovely media that pretends like they like you, they prop themselves up by wearing very expensive dresses and suits and makeup and tens of million dollars sometimes on their television set, their castle-like buildings that they broadcast from. They spend countless millions of dollars in order to perpetuate the illusion, and it is an illusion, that they're credible, the illusion that they are trustworthy and have integrity. They spend countless millions of dollars perpetuating the illusion that they are superior in intellectual scrutiny, power, social credibility, context, etc., etc. But it's all based on an illusion. They're lying to you. Okay, so this is the most critical thing, because this regards the most important decisions that you and your family members will make in their entire lifetimes. They have to make certain medical decisions and medical choices. And the only way you can do that effectively is you have to have the accurate facts and data. So what they have discovered, and this has been out since September 30th, 2021, and it began with the health crisis of the French government, okay? And the data that kept pouring out from the most powerful and the most vaccinated nations in the world. So what the data and the statistics show is that among the most COVID-19 vaccinated nations in the world, the scientific proven conclusion was that the vaccinated suffer from increased risk of mortality and death, which is the opposite of everything the mainstream media and governments have been telling you. You have been told, I have been told over and over again, in your local media, the big media, wherever, we have been told repetitively and constantly that the nations that have the recorded highest mortality or death rate in countries that are officially categorized as COVID-19 vaccine champions, their scientific data conclusion was that the vaccinated, it is the vaccinated, not the non-vaccinated, it is the vaccinated who suffer the most from increased risk of mortality, or they suffer the most from increased risk of death. And all of the data from the respective institutions, the data on the mortality and the death rates in the most vaccinated countries, increased hospitalizations of the vaccinated. So what it's saying is the exact 180 degrees opposite of what you're being told. It's saying that in the nations where people are dying the most, in the nations where people have the highest risk of mortality or the highest percentage rate of dying, all across the board, the highest mortality rate and the highest death rates occur in the nations which have vaccinated the greatest number of people. So the more you have vaccinated your population, the more people have died or have had increased mortality rates in those nations. So there's a direct correlation between a vastly increased death rate and a direct correlation between how many vaccines were given in a nation. And the end result is that the nations that have vaccinated the people the most are the nations which have had the highest death rates. So every time you turn on the news, you're being lied to. Every time you listen to a government official, you're being lied to. This is criminal. And so, the health strategy that they have employed has failed miserably. So, the failure, the miserable failure for 18 months of this so-called health strategy, which is based entirely on false models, false simulations, innumerable lies, promises never kept, as well as the propaganda and fear campaign, has become unbearable. And the tragedy is, and this is our job too, the tragedy is that the overwhelming majority of Americans, or at the very least, 50% of all Americans, psychiatrists and psychologists state, are living in the equivalent of a collective hypnotic state, or they're living in the equivalent of what is called a mass formation state. A mass formation nation is a nation which where the people are the most likely to believe propaganda, mind control, lies, and they're most likely to believe highly distorted, made-up stuff. And their people are dying like crazy. So here's the thing. They have embedded on the extortion of consent to be vaccinated. Now, what that means is people are not voluntarily signing a legal paper or a document giving their permission or consent to be legally vaccinated. That's not what's happening. You're being lied to. They're being extorted to sign their consent. They are being lied to sign their consent. They are being arm twisted. They're being threatened with being fired from their jobs, losing their money. It's a constant barrage of threats and lies and manipulations that are designed to extort people. That's a criminal act. To extort people to give their consent to be vaccinated. through blackmail, legally. So if you threaten somebody, you need to get the vaccination, and you are going to sign this legal document giving us your permission to vaccinate you, but you're not doing it voluntarily, then your consent was gained in an illegal manner. That's called extortion. Here's another thing. In turn, this has been followed by the extortion of consent to be vaccinated by outright blackmail while curtailing our freedoms. So they're extorting our consent, manipulating the data, and then deliberately restricting our constitutional freedoms to move and socialize and work and go anywhere. Our right to work and engage in leisure activities has been illegally stolen from us through extortion. Now, are the current vaccines that they want to impose on us effective? Because the original vaccines proved to be highly ineffective. The next batch proved to be highly ineffective. So now the question is, the vaccines that they just released, are they effective? Are they, you know, have we been told blatant lies once again? Okay. So here's another question. Can these new vaccinations lead to what we are being told would be a collective immunity? So we're being told that mysteriously, magically, with the help of we're being told that a kind of like supernatural immunity will manifest in all of us. Is that true? Will we get collective immunity? And so, if we make the current sanitary assessment of the most vaccinated countries, according to the figures provided by the World Health Organization and other so-called reliable data suppliers, from the outset of the vaccine in December 2020 to September 15th, 2021, record death rates and record mortality in Gibraltar, which is the champion of the AstraZeneca injections. So in the nation, Gibraltar, which has championed the most the AstraZeneca injections, they've had the highest death rate, mortality, and the highest kill rate. Pretty serious. Pretty serious. In Malta has, these are unusual nations, that's why they were looked at. Malta has an 84% vaccine rate. That means 84% of the population of Malta has been vaccinated, but they don't show even 1% difference in terms of positive results. Even though 84% of the people of Malta have gotten vaccinated, they are just as vulnerable to get sick, to dying, to being killed, than those that have not been vaccinated. So basically, bottom line, the effectiveness, the claimed effectiveness of the vaccine is based on a complete lie. That's just total hot air. Okay, so let's look at a few more data points. The reoccurrence of the epidemic in terms of cases and mortality proves that a high rate of vaccination does not protect the population. Well, do you think you'd want to call the White House or the governor of your state with that one, wouldn't you? It's a scientific fact that the reoccurrence of the epidemic in terms of how many cases there are and how many people die and how many people get fatally sick proves scientifically that just because you have a high rate of vaccination does not protect the general population. So why even get a vaccine? If it does nothing to protect the population, why do you get a vaccine? There's no reason for it. Except people are making a lot of money. Okay, this sudden reoccurrence convinced the chief epidemiologist, I can't even pronounce that, I'm discrediting myself by not looking up the pronunciation first, so I'm going to cheat by skipping it. The impossibility of obtaining collective immunity through vaccination is a myth, this high-level medical official said. Belgium, reoccurrence of the disease despite vaccination. So all the charts, all the data, all the statistics regarding how effective the vaccine is, all of the data proves that with all the vaccines, there's no more immunity, no more saved lives among fully vaccinated patients than among non-vaccinated patients. In other words, all the lies about you being stuck in your house for social isolation, all the lies about you can't eat in a restaurant, you need social isolation, one lie after another, all the lies, the people who bug me the most online are the local television channels, like the local Channel 2, local Channel 4, local Channel 7. They're the worst because they try to fake this homespun, I'm your good old boy or good old girl, pal, you know, I'm your friend. I wouldn't lie to you. And every single time I turn on one of these local television networks, they chum up to me. I despise them. And then they lie to me by flat out looking in the camera and telling me things, quote, like, you need to go out today and get vaccinated. Yet, simultaneously, all the real facts and all the real statistics say that there is absolutely no difference in terms of the health, the immunity, the protection, and how long you will live. There's no difference in immunity and the saving of lives between those who are vaccinated and those who are not vaccinated. I'm just getting lied to regularly by my local television station. That's why I can't stand them. That's how I feel. I'm not going to censor it. Okay, so we have, okay, so here's just some of the conclusions. Israel, which normally you would think would be more intelligent, they're one of the worst nations of all. 70 for the nation of Israel, 71% of the 118 seriously ill Israelis, by seriously ill, they meant serious, critical, ready to die. 71% of the seriously ill Israelis were fully vaccinated. I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, Jacksonites, Queens. There's a number of Yiddish words that I would just love to drop on you concerning the mindset and the mentality of any idiot who would be stupid enough to ignore all the real statistics regarding vaccinations and then get vaccinated despite the fact that all the truthful scientific data is saying that 71% of the 118 seriously ill Israelis were fully vaccinated, which the translation from that is getting vaccinated did absolutely nothing to help people. The current pseudo-vaccines, this is the new batch of vaccines, are not effective enough. Well, let's be really honest. The current batch of pseudo-vaccines are not effective enough, but let's continue a logical stream of thought. But the previous or earlier batches of vaccines were not effective enough, and the original ones were not effective enough. For crying out loud, why can't somebody simply talk the truth in plain sense at a government hearing? Fact of the matter is that the vaccines are not effective enough, period, across the board. It's a failed medical solution. It's a horrible failure. It doesn't work. And anybody with a minimal amount of a brain left would know that. Because people dropping dead all over the place, and the one thing they have all in common is they got vaccinated. And why are all the United Nations, the health authorities, the Faucis, the Bill Gates, why is it that all those people, the self-proclaimed experts, the ones that fund WHO and the Center for Disease Control and the United Nations and all these other numerous globalist, powerful medical vaccine corporations that are bankrolled by the globalist elite, why is it that all of them, why is it that our government officials are still continuing to believe in their false data, their lies, and why are they continuing to believe in their false simulations, which are proving over and over again the same basic truth, which is there's no measurable improvement in health, in immunity, in protection from vaccines. The vaccines don't work at all in terms of saving people's lives and sparing deaths. They're a total failure. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do and what not to do because I'm not a medical doctor. And let me say, regarding every single thing that I said on the program today and the previous shows, I want to give a disclaimer. Paul McGuire and the Paul McGuire Report, I in no way, shape, or form claim to be a physician, a medical doctor, or a medical professional. Okay, that's my disclaimer. If you want authentic medical vaccination, immune system advice, or medical advice of any kind, you need to do your research from an unbiased physician, an unbiased medical professional, or an unbiased medical researcher. That's where you get your data. But you need to select one who doesn't have a hidden bias, who doesn't have a hidden agenda. You need to find one that knows all of the facts on both sides of the issue and can professionally and in a non-biased way leads you to a medically correct conclusion. Okay? That's my disclaimer. Now, there are people that are saying that these vaccinations were designed to fail. Why would that be? Well, if you walked out of your trance state and did a little homework by yourself, you would know why. Could it be that the real game plan here is not to save people's lives. I'm only asking the question. Could it be that the real game plan here is not to save lives, but the real could it be that the game plan here is to lose lives? Could it be that the real game plan here is to accomplish their hidden agenda, which is euthanasia, which is another word for population control or zero population growth? Could it be, since that most of the major financiers, specifically the globalist elite, could it be that since most of the major financiers and most of the major globalist elite that are bankrolling the vaccination program, could it be that their true goal, their true agenda, is to create an environment for mass deaths to occur, because their goal is to curtail as fast as they can excessive population growth? I mean, that's what they put written in stone on the stone monument called the Georgia tombstones, etched in stone as if it was the Ten Commandments. They have these words written, that their goal is, the globalist elite, that their goal is to reduce the world's population as fast as possible from 7 billion people, to reduce it down to 500,000 people, that their real goal is to reduce the Earth's population down to just 500,000 people. Now, in all their writings that I've read, their reports, their public statements, their books, the videos of their conferences, you know, I've accumulated over 40 years of research on this subject and related subjects, and I've known for 30 to 40 years of my life that their high priority agenda has always been to adopt the Malthusian solution. Malthus was a British clergyman, British economist, and he stated publicly with his book on overpopulation, he wrote publicly that the most dangerous thing for mankind as a whole is excessive population growth. So Malthus said our greatest threat is excessive population growth. And the best thing we can do to save planet Earth, to save humanity, is to stop excessive population growth as quickly as we can. And he suggested a number of ways, along with Bertrand Russell, another member of the globalist elite Fabian Socialists. Malthus suggested what are termed Malthusian strategies for reducing population. And they were things like promoting abortion, promoting sterilization, promoting warfare, promoting wars where there would be mass deaths in terms of biological warfare, eventually in the future, nuclear warfare, and chemical warfare, and then just warfare in general. Also, to produce as many food shortages as you can, drastically reducing the Earth's population. Do everything you possibly can, as fast as you can, to immediately stop population growth in every single area. And by doing that, Malthus said, then and only then can the human race survive. Now, is that true? Well, I've spent 40 years researching it. You can read my analysis, my research, my conclusions, in the majority of my books. I've written over 35 books. You can get them at a financial discount simply by going to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And remember, most of all, the most important thing that we can do right now together, the most important thing we can do besides saving souls, which is of paramount importance, the other most important thing that we can do is to communicate to as many people as fast as possible, as fast as we possibly can, the real secret truth regarding their secret agendas of the globalist elite, such as their agenda for stopping excessive population growth, their agenda for promoting mass deaths, their agenda for promoting warfare, mass starvation, their agenda for killing off people slowly through introducing toxins and poisons into the water supplies, into genetically modified organisms or GMOs. That's their agenda, and they talk about it openly. Their other primary agenda is to create a globalist one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system, where every person alive will mandatorily be given a Mark of the Beast technology. And you know what that's about. It's in Revelation chapter 12. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Let's join together while we still have the freedom of speech, which is tenuous. Let's join together while we can still communicate electronically. The day may come when they end all that. You realize that. You realize our ability to communicate right now is a luxury. It's a luxury. Very few nations have this. We have a limited opportunity to communicate to millions of people, to save their souls, to make disciples of Christ, and to teach them and expose for them the real dark secrets about what's really happening to mankind right now. I mean, it's now or never. You either step up to the plate now or forever hold your peace. There is nothing that God would have us do that is more important than communicating this message far and wide as fast as possible. Why? Because Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we really love our neighbor as ourselves, we will treat our neighbor with the utmost love, caring, and compassion. That means we will communicate to our neighbor with the same urgency that we would communicate to our son or our daughter or spouse or neighbor or whoever. We would give the same effort. So we need to put love into action. Now, I believe the time is very short. I believe the time is far, far shorter than the average conservative, the average Christian, even remotely realizes. Remember when we were victimized by this for a couple of years. Anytime we posted something on our social media, a video, an article, a radio show, or whatever, that communicated too much truth, we were mysteriously torn down from, you know, Google, Facebook, and the rest of the social media platforms. And many others were too. And we almost, you know, it was a very dangerous time for the ministry. Now, we can't forget that they were taking us down, and that didn't mean we would be let back on these social media platforms. I believe by God's grace, and because lots of people like you were speaking out and protesting, that made the doors open for a whole wave of new social media platforms to become operational, and they're operational now because we're on them. Social media platforms like Rumble.com, like Brightian.com. And if you go to paulmaguire.us, you'll see about, 20, 30 different social media platforms. Well, once they went online, they stopped censoring us and they started to post our videos, our audios, our articles, and our communication content. And we were able to communicate to large numbers of people all around the world. But don't think for a moment that this limited period of time in which we still have, at this moment at least, we still have an opportunity to communicate to people all around the world through social media, video, audio, articles. Don't fall asleep for a second. Don't think for a moment that these freedoms are guaranteed. All it takes is one crisis, one change in the direction of the wind, so to speak, and with a snap of your fingers, they will start tearing down all truth-speaking social media sites, social media platforms, websites, video channels, audio channels, podcasting channels. In fact, if they wanted to, and I want you to really pay attention to this fact, if they wanted to, with the click of one single switch, just one single switch has to be clicked, and in a nanosecond, all the media platforms we're on and other people are on, in a nanosecond, we would be ripped violently off of all of them in a nanosecond. And in a nanosecond, they would censor all our content. They would wipe us out of the metaverse. They would wipe us out off of the media channels of every kind. There would be censorship that would instantaneously, with the flick of a switch, be activated. And it would be a censorship with the same severity and harshness that the communist Chinese social credit score system has. So I'm just telling you this as your brother in Christ, Paul Maguire, as your friend. We have a limited opportunity. Unless we fight valiantly to win the right to continually speak out the truth and the facts, we can't. A momentary battle doesn't win the war. A momentary battle only buys you a short period of time. We have to be able to fight with such strength, such power, such strategic ability that we can dominate certain media, certain technologies, and we can guarantee for ourselves, and hopefully we can guarantee for other ministries and outlets, the continual and perpetual right, if the Lord would grant it to us, the continual and perpetual right of freedom of speech to continually communicate the truth. But they, at this moment, because of the fragility of this technology, with a snap of the fingers, they could wipe out millions of people from hearing our message and other people's messages. That's why I need you to stand with us now, 100%. I need you to be a prayer warrior with me in this ministry. I need you to voluntarily send our links, our videos, our audio messages, our articles, our website. I need you to voluntarily send our message far and wide immediately. And then finally, we must have the sufficient financing that we need to fight the battle both legally and technologically. We have to be able to continue on. We have to have monies in order to fight the war legally. And we have to we have to have the resources financially to win the battle for the long term. Otherwise, we're just playing in the sandbox until somebody gets tired of us. So I'm asking you to evaluate your priorities in light of what's happening and what's coming down the road. I'm asking you to evaluate your priorities, seek the Lord for his direction and guidance, and then faithfully support with your donations, your finances, your contributions, faithfully support Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church, or wherever God directs you. And then through your giving, we will have enough financial resources, we will have sufficient technology, we will have sufficient backup technology to continue to fight this spiritual warfare through thick and thin until we realize victory. Because in my opinion, humble opinion, fighting to achieve status quo is a fool's game. I would be a lousy watchman on the wall if I thought that asking you to join me in a fight to preserve the social media and the media status quo was a fight worth fighting. No, that's not a fight worth fighting. That's a fight that's going to guarantee you're going to lose and you're going to be defeated, because the enemy isn't going to stop with winning just one momentary victory. The enemy will only stop after he or she has continually pushed us and literally driven us into the ocean and drowned us to death. You say, where did you get that idea? When I had several personal private interviews with some of the most powerful military generals in the history of the modern nation of Israel, when I've had the time and occasion to meet privately with the Prime Minister of Israel and Mossad and other high-level leaders, they all told me the same thing. It's something that a Christian Bible teacher who studies a lot on the history of Israel taught me. They all taught me the same thing, which is this, that it is the publicly stated goal of the Palestinians and all the nations that hate Israel, it is their publicly stated goal to literally use their military might to literally drive Israel into the sea or into the ocean, to drive them out of the land of Israel, and then to drown them so they'll die at the bottom of the ocean. That is the stated goal of all the enemies of the nation of Israel, is to slaughter Israel as they did in the time of Pharaoh and the Red Sea with Moses. The only way to win is to develop and execute a military strategy based on biblical truths. And that is, you don't fight a war to win a delay. You don't fight a war to buy time. You fight a war for only one reason and one reason only. And that is to achieve permanent and lasting total military victory. We need to learn from our Israeli brothers and sisters. We need to learn from the messages of the Old Testament and apply them to Christians today. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, Jews, again, I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, most of the time, Jews are far more savvy, sharp, and shrewd than Christians. Most of the time, Christians can be played. Now, Jews can be played also. It's just not as frequently will Jews be played as Christians be played. So we need to adopt a biblical worldview. When Jews militarily fought a war They fought it with the objective of total victory, totally defeating their enemy, totally paralyzing their enemy, totally removing from their enemy any weapons they may have. And according to these were Bible-believing Jews who were military generals and prime ministers, etc. According to their counsel, the only way to achieve victory is that it has to be a lasting victory. God gave the nation of Israel as a gift for an everlasting covenant. That means God gave Israel, the physical, geographical nation of Israel, in an everlasting covenant. That means a deal that never, never ends. So we too, we're faced, the Christians, we're a lot like Jews today. It wasn't that way when I was a kid, but it is now. We are faced with enemies of Christ all around us. They want to totally defeat us, and the way they wanted to defeat us is they want to immobilize our ability at communications, our ability to win a military victory, our ability to win media, culture, everything else. And the only way you can win that kind of total victory is that you must engage the enemy and achieve a totally overwhelming victory, so that when this battle is over, there is absolutely no possibility at all that your enemy could even remotely potentially rise from the ashes and strike back and kill, murder, harm, or hurt the contemporary nation of Israel. The enemy has to be so immobilized, so paralyzed, that they cannot come back for a second or a third or a fourth or however many rounds there is. Because we know what the enemies of Israel propose. They've said it out loud. We've now come to the day, my friends, you better wake up. We've now come to the day in America where the enemies of Christianity, the enemies of Christians, the globalist elite, the media, and many other groups and organizations, which are extremely powerful, we have now come to the day in America where they have openly stated, for our ears to hear, they have openly stated their primary goals, which is to totally destroy and wipe out Christianity and Bible-believing Christians from America. That is their end game. Nothing else will suffice their lust. So the only way we can defeat them is to look at it from a military theater perspective. We are in a momentary valley of decision where for a momentary period in time, we have access to spiritual military weapons, where we have access to strategic geographic positions, where we have access for a limited period of time to a specific amount of finances, and so on and so forth. So we have a momentary opportunity to achieve a permanent military victory if we allow this God-given opportunity to pass us by. They will attack us and they will destroy us, because that's what they've said with their mouths, exactly what they're going to do. So what we must do in this open door that God has given us is seek the face of the Lord, allow the Lord God, who is King, to lead and guide us step by step, impart into our hearts and minds His God-given military strategies and decisions. And then when God opens the door, we move as one in a law-abiding and peaceful way, and we secure a permanent and lasting and law-abiding military victory, which will allow us to survive, thrive, prosper, and continue on the mission that God has assigned to us before the beginning of the world. That's true biblical Christianity. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.